Thank you so much for the wonderful kirtan, devotees. Itai go premanandi haribo. So this is the one of the toughest slots during any retreat. The main day after Mahaprasad in the afternoon, and 90 degrees outside. So we're grateful that you all have come and you've come here on time, so thank you so much. I'm handicapped at this point. Our next presenter is here, and I don't have a bio for her. For those of you who don't know, she's my wife. So. Anyway, Vrajalila, Her Grace Vrajalila Devi Dasi, she's been a devotee for many years. She was initiated in 1979, and during that period of time, she met Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and she's always been under his care and guidance. The first 10 years of her time in ISKCON, the first 10 years of her service in ISKCON, she did pioneering work in Africa, where she distributed books and opened up temples throughout all of West Africa. The next 10 years, she pioneered in Washington, D.C., distributed books and opened what was called the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology under the guidance of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And then the third 10 years, she came here to Gita Nagari. And although I was listed as temple president on paper, she was actually the temple president here in Gita Nagari. And then, of course, during the last 7 years, she's been traveling throughout the world, conducting seminars on devotee care. She's a counselor. She served as a conflict resolution servitor in ISKCON. She's also been employed by the United States State Department to engage in conflict resolution, where she went to Africa. She was also asked to go to Croatia and Bosnia during that particular war, which at that point in time we said, no, you can't go during that time, but maybe some other time. And so throughout her entire Krishna conscious career, she's always served the devotees and cared for the devotees. And so it's most appropriate that she would talk about devotee care. She also conducted and facilitated the devotee care course along with His Grace Rasamandala Prabhu. And they piloted the course this year in Mayapur Dham. So please join me in welcoming Her Grace Rajalila.
Hare Krishna, Pooj. So my great fortune is that I am a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And because of His mercy, I've been able to engage in Srila Prabhupada's mission in many different ways. And that has given me great joy in this life. And that those different services that He has given me an opportunity to participate in has helped me in my Krishna consciousness. So I'm grateful that all of you are here. This, as Ekavir Prabhu said, this is the best time to go take rest. And we all are very aware of that. Actually, it's never this hot in Gita Nagari. It feels like I'm in India. Generally, Ekavir Prabhu and myself, we spend 6 months in India and 6 months in America. We're very fortunate souls. And whenever it starts getting this time in India, hot like this, that's when we come to America. But now, you know, everything is switching around, right? In America now, it's probably more hot than it is in India. Probably. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. So, anyway, I'm happy that all of you are here in Gita Nagari. So this course, this workshop that we will do, this little seminar, is based on a course that Rasamandala Prabhu and myself, we were able to write this course for the GBC, hopefully for all the devotees. We have not yet shown the course to the GBC. It was only piloted at this last meeting we had in Mayapur. So we piloted it to a select audience of 25 devotees. It's two courses. There's one course that's for 1 day, and the other part of the course is for 3 days. So in total, it's a course of 4 days, and it's all based on understanding devotee care and what that means, devotee care. There's a lot of, but devotee care right now is like a buzzword. It's all over ISKCON. And there's not much clarity in what is devotee care. So I thought what we would do is we would start with that. Start with asking you, what does devotee care mean to you? And this is a little bit of a workshop. I know our previous presenters have been doing more of a seminar type presentation, but this is a little more interactive. It's called a workshop, so we work, right? So what I want to ask you, I know it's after lunch and everybody's a little, you know, maybe a little wonderful from all the beautiful and delicious prasadam. I know you're feeling a little calm and peaceful. So I'm going to get you into a little mode of passion right now. So you can let the prasadam digest, you know. Passion is always good for, they say, sometimes for digestion. Anyway, what does devotee care mean to you? When we say devotee care, you're hearing this, it's a buzzword. What's devotee care?
Identifying
needs and devotees' needs and fulfilling their needs.
Trying to fulfill their
needs. Trying to fulfill their needs, yeah, okay. Anyone else? We'll wake you up from lunch here. Thank you. See, even the Prabhu is running.
Hare Krishna. So normally we, in the congregation, devotees come to the temple, they attend the Sunday feast and go away. But there will be many innermost emotional aspects that which devotees would need. And something like friends and who can be with them, who can be there in the time of their need. Things like, yeah, so those are the major things that which normally they are not addressed as a group. So little more personal in the smaller groups. So that is where actually the help to one another help, increases. So that area, I think, where devotee care is necessary.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So small groups taking care of devotees specifically with their emotional needs. Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's model of physical, the emotional, intellectual, and the spiritual side. Mm-hmm. And so to devotee care means to cater to the needs, interests, and concerns for all of those four levels, and specifically edging towards a spiritual, wholesome spiritual nourishment.
Yes, thank you. Devotee care, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And yes, he's very famous in the Shikshamrita, describing these four areas of needs. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if we don't pay attention to those four areas of needs, that we will become dysfunctional in a spiritual society. So those, they're all of what everyone is saying is so really important. Yes, Mataji.
My understanding of devotee care is, that's just one aspect that's coming to me right now, is one of the things that we hear normally in ISKCON, that we are very good in introducing people to Krishna consciousness, but what happened to people after their first initiation, second initiation, or so forth. So it's a journey, a lifetime of journey where we need a lot of support and accountability and a lot of care at every step. So there's a structure that's been created for devotees who committed to Krishna consciousness, but then what about,
Yes. Thank you. Sustainability is such an important part of devotee care. And this is one of the agendas of addressing devotee care, is how do we sustain ourselves, as Mataji is sharing, after we've gone through first initiation, second initiation, we're in this organization for some time, and we're married, we have children, how do we sustain caring not just for each other, but for the mission of Srila Prabhupada? Yes, maybe we'll take one more. What does devotee care mean to you? One other person, please. Yes, thank you. As we shared, we realized this is a little bit of a new, or for some of you, a little new topic.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
being a, let's say, beginner devotee, I found like instruction is very important in the beginning when the, we are introduced to Krishna consciousness. And I think if we somehow, the senior devotee can instruct a little bit better the beginners like myself, because I care about reading, I care about getting more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the basics of doing extra work or whatever, but I think to me the instruction is so important. So maybe we can develop, I don't know.
Yes, thank
you. I just want to put it out there.
Very clear, very clear. Devotee care for you means to have guidance, and guidance from senior devotees. And I'm guessing you said knowledge. I'm guessing you mean spiritual knowledge. So you would want to have more guidance spiritually. Yes. Thank you. Okay, Prabhu.
So for me, devotee care means that if we are around devotees, we should make sure that everybody feels like at home. You know, under, you know, on all levels. If it's physical or mental or spiritual. So for me, to care means I want to make sure that whoever happens to be around me, that that person feels like, you know, home, not estranged, not isolated, you know, and comfortable.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. That we care for each other. That is such an important aspect of everything about Krishna consciousness. I put this little slide there. I found it not too long ago because, first, I like that picture, and secondly, to remind us that the culture of care means to know who's actually our caretaker, our caregiver. And, of course, we know this is our philosophy. Krishna and Radharani, they're ultimately the ones that are caretaking us. We are under their care. However, as Prabhu said, they have given us a system, right? They've given us systems through the medium of the spiritual master so that we can learn how to care for each other. So the spiritual master has also given us structures. Srila Prabhupada has been so kind and left us different kinds of structures. So we'll explore that a little bit. So thank you so much. I was really eager to hear. As I said, it's a new course. Tamahara Prabhu, I asked him, I said, you didn't mention the devotee care course. And he said, yeah, because it's not yet instituted. And I said, oh yeah, that's right, we're still piloting. So you're getting sneak previews of what devotee care course is all about. Okay, so this is Lord Kapila Dev to Devahuti. So the symptoms of a sadhu, and we're all sadhus, sadhuinis, if there's such a thing, are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So this is, we are all getting trained, right, by Lord Kapila Dev. And so I believe this is what Prabhu was saying, that he needs to get trained in terms of understanding more about this sublime character, so how to develop sublime characteristics. Because that's what devotee care means. Devotee care means when we are sublime in our character, then we automatically care for others. It's an automatic thing. It's not something that we have to think about. So, Ramapad Maharaj, who I wanted to share a little bit about Ramapad Maharaj, because he's actually such an amazing example of one such sadhu, that is tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living entities. One of the great fortune that my husband and I had when we were caring for Gitanagari in administrative capacity is to be able to work together with His Holiness Ramapad Maharaj as he did these retreats. And for us, we saw the immense care. And not just, we're talking about, one Prabhu mentioned emotional care, and another Prabhu mentioned something about physical care. There's different aspects of care, certainly. However, there's one aspect that was spoken about this morning by Subal Prabhu that I thought I would just mention very briefly, and that's financial care. And so His Holiness Ramapad Swami, He has built these cabins that we see here where all of you can come and stay. And so this is the mercy of the sadhu, that the sadhu is thinking, how can I serve the devotees? So one of his mission and his vision is to be able to bring people into an environment out of the cities so that they can understand a little bit about the sublimity of having character, and that you can experience more in these types of communities. So he invested, I'm guessing, by all of you. You have all contributed to these cabins that all of you are staying in. And I really wanted to thank him for doing that, because it has made a difference, not just for the disciples of Srila Ramapada Swami that come here, but now for so many people that are coming to Gitanagar for retreats. So this is vision, long term. So we wanted to appreciate him for that. So this is from Bhagavatam. Again, this is just validating this whole understanding of devotee care. Maybe I can have somebody, we have a mic, Prabhu. I can have somebody read. Yeah, can somebody just read this, please?
Thing as well, we are concerned not only with his personal self, but also with his family, his source of income, and his assistants or servants. All of them must be well, and then a person can be happy.
So Srila Prabhupada, in his mercy and kindness, as we heard from Tamahara Prabhu, that he took the time to write, translate his book, so by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have here, from the sixth canto of Srila Prabhupada, this is actually from his purport, and he's commenting on that verse. And so sometimes when we inquire about the devotees, we don't always think that we are asking them, how are you doing financially, Prabhu? Are you doing okay? I was hearing Subal ask that question, and we'll talk about this a little later, because even though that's a part of the Grihastha Vision team, that's devotee care, and we'll talk about this. There's systems and structures in the devotee care. Devotee care systems are set up in such a way that the Grihastha Vision team is a part of the devotee care committee that takes care of Grihasthas. And a part of their mission is to be able to assist devotees in understanding financial situations, financial conditions. That's actually the purpose of the Grihastha committee, or the Grihastha Vision team, is to assist the Grihasthas in how to do that for those that may not have that understanding. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains to us that when we inquire about how someone is doing, we're inquiring very deeply. It's not just, how are you, Prabhu? I'm fine. Or I always say, when people ask me, how are you doing, Prabhu? I say, I'm grateful. And every once in a while, somebody says to me, what are you grateful for? And I think, this is very nice. Now I can say something, right? Yeah, okay, now I can explain. Because Prabhupada explains like that. It's on many different levels. So when we inquire from someone, how are you doing? Please know, please be aware. What am I really wanting to understand about this person? What kind of reciprocation do I want to have with this person? Oftentimes when we approach someone, we have an agenda, right, in the back of our heads. We're approaching that person, but we're really approaching them for something that we're thinking about, we want them to do something about us. It's not really about what is going on for the other person. So Prabhupada says, when we inquire, we need to be able to understand. We're inquiring on different levels. Right? So this one level of source of income is very much a part of what the Grihasthas has to deal with on an everyday life, everyday basis. So therefore, there is a system and a structure that has to be set up under devotee care umbrella, which in this case, one of them is the Grihastha Vision team. Vishnandini is here, so that's why I'm sharing more about the Grihastha Vision team. Okay, so we're going to go on to define devotee care. The devotee care committee defines success. So everybody's looking about success. So success is the maintenance of a strong, happy, and loving Vaishnava community. This mic is a little, the sound is kind of something. Yeah, it needs to be turned down. and a society that recognizes that the devotees are the real assets. Right? When we hear about assets, yeah, we think capital, right? Money. In Krishna consciousness, the assets of Krishna consciousness are the devotees. This is our asset, because we cannot do anything. For example, in Gitanagari, we would have not have had these buildings for devotees to come and stay here if it was not for His Holiness Ramapad Swami. And Ramapad Swami is an asset to His spiritual master, because He has a vision and He has a mission for promoting Krishna consciousness, right? So all of us have that ability. We are all blessed by Srila Prabhupada and our respective guides, spiritual teachers, spiritual masters, shiksha gurus, to be able to have that capacity to make a vision and a mission practical. So this is what we're saying, that the devotees are the real assets, right? The devotees. So we've seen this, right? Some of you have seen this picture, and some of you may recognize some of these amazing devotees. Some of you may be looking for your respective spiritual masters, spiritual guides, spiritual teachers. But this is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada with all of his assets, right? And all of these assets that Srila Prabhupada have, if you look at each one of them, they have gone on to show how to promote, propagate the ISKCON institution. Yes? Yes? Is that an asset? Yes, when you have an asset, it's something valuable, right? Something you can do something with it. You can build a hospital. You can do this, you can that. Do this. Do so many things philanthropically. This is how the materialists think. However, Srila Prabhupada came with a different vision of asset. And so that asset is us. We have an important service, important work, devotee care. So with all this in mind, the ISKCON GBC Devotee Care Committee developed the following vision, mission, and statement of goals. Now, normally I wouldn't burden you with all of this, because it's after lunch, you're tired, you know, you don't, the last thing you want to do is just sit here and listen to somebody speak. I mean, I'm sure you care, so that's why you're all here. However, we know that this, as we said, this is a hard slot. But however, because this course has not yet been given to all the devotees, we want to share with you a little bit about our mission and our vision, just so you can be aware of what the Devotee Care Committee is offering. So, our vision statement. Maybe somebody can read? Okay, so we're interactive here. So somebody can have a mic and just read, please.
Every devotee is spiritually happy and materially well situated, positively identifying with ISKCON as a caring society.
So ISKCON is to be a caring society. I believe Prabhu, when he was describing ISKCON, he said a place where each person care for the other person. And this is Srila Prabhupada's vision, that he would create an ISKCON organization where we would care for each other. And by caring for each other, we can take that outside to others. It starts with us, right? So each devotee responsibly looks after his or her diverse needs. I believe Prabhu over here was talking about needs, right? So we don't want to spend too much time on this. I do several seminars based on understanding our needs. For today, we're just giving you a little bit of a glimpse as to what the Devotee Care course is all about. But basically, all of us have diverse needs. The grihastha needs is different than the brahmachari needs. The brahmachari needs is different than the vanaprastha needs. The vanaprastha needs is different. And even based on our ashrams and our varnas even, everything is so different. So our needs vary. So it's really important to understand what are our needs. What aren't even needs? Sometimes I teach a course just trying to explain what are needs, because many times devotees don't even understand. What are my needs even? So it's very important to understand this. And again, we are presenting this in terms of Srila Prabhupada helping us to understand how to take responsibility for our Krishna consciousness. There is Prabhupada has explained that each and every one of us needs to take responsibility for flying our own planes, so to speak, right? Our guides are there, our spiritual teachers are there, the persons that we take Diksha from or Shiksha from, or even our friends are there to help us. But at the end of the day, we need to be able to take responsibility for our spiritual life, as well as all these different areas of care that we're going to be talking about, right? So look after our diverse needs. We can easily and successfully seek qualified help within the society. So this is something that we have experienced in the Devotee Care Committee that is not happening, right? We are not so comfortable, or we have not yet gotten to that understanding of the culture of care, where we can feel comfortable to know that my sister will help me, or my brother will help me. I can go to someone and share. Prabhu was saying, sometimes we may have emotional challenges, which we're human, so that's a part of being in a human body. It's very natural. And Prabhu was sharing that there's, in his community, they have little small pockets of people that assist devotees. Now we need to extend that into the broader ISKCON, so that all of the ISKCON members can be aware that we need to be responsible for each other emotionally, as well as physically and spiritually. In the Devotee Care Committee, we say everything is spiritual. Physical care is spiritual, emotional care is spiritual, social care is spiritual. Why do you think we would say like this? When we, normally in Krishna consciousness, when we think spiritual, we think sastric, Vedic wisdom, right? Knowledge. We think chanting the holy name. But I'm saying from the Devotee Care Committee that physical care is spiritual. Emotional care is spiritual. Social care is spiritual. Why is that? Why is that? Maybe one or two persons. Yes, Prabhu.
Because it can affect the spiritual aspect. If physical level is something is not well, or emotional something is not well.
Yes.
That can help affect my spiritual practices and sadhana.
Yes. Absolutely. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was it that he told? My memory is going now. But anyway, all of you are so sastric. Krishna. Anyway, he told Krishna. Your body does not belong to you. It's such a simple. Who is that? Thank you. Okay, Krishna. Krishna does this. He's funny, you know. He's very funny. I laugh when he does this. But anyway, so our body does not belong to us. Our mind does not belong to us. None of it belongs to us. It belongs to Krishna. So if we have that understanding that we're using these bodies for Krishna's service, we're using our mind for Krishna's service, whether it's taking care of our children, taking care of our finances, whatever it is that we're doing it in service to Krishna, then we won't be challenged by these separations, thinking, I'm taking care of my body, so I'm in Maya because I'm not chanting. No, your body is also being used for Krishna's service. Very important to take care of the body. Very important to take care of the mind. Very important to have social kinds of interactions with each other. Otherwise, we will go to sleep, right? That's what's going to happen. We'll just go to sleep. Go to sleep for some might mean going into the material world to look for some excitement. So we need to have those things. However, they need to all be based spiritually. Yes? Must have a spiritual foundation. So this is devotee care. And we need to wholeheartedly extend that care to others. So if we are schizoid about taking care of our physical body, or if we are schizoid about taking care of our minds, or if we are schizoid about doing some social activities, we will not be able to help others to come to Krishna consciousness and really appreciate what Krishna consciousness is all about. Did Srila Prabhupada get massages? Did Srila Prabhupada walk? Did Srila Prabhupada do so many amazing, wonderful things to show us by his example how to take care of the body? There were times when Srila Prabhupada, when he was leaving his body, that he explained to some of his leading disciples that he was feeling, you know, some remorse, some many things. I believe this morning I heard one person say that Srila Prabhupada was calling all his godbrothers at the end so that he can connect with them. So there's so many aspects of Srila Prabhupada showing us, teaching us by example. And when I said Srila Prabhupada was feeling remorse, not remorse that he was leaving his body, not remorse that there was anything that he had done that wasn't the perfect thing to do, but he was leaving his body and he was wanting that his followers would have gotten, received the message, that they could take the message forward that he had given to all of them, all of us, actually. So we want to wholeheartedly take this care to others. So our mission statement is we strive to ensure that the Vaishnava's virtue of care pervades all aspects of the ISKCON society, all aspects, supports and provides specific care services that enhance, so it makes it better, the spiritual, the emotional, the physical and social well-being of all ISKCON members. And as Prabhu was sharing, this is directly from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself has says, he said, unless you're a Paramahamsa, unless you are a Paramahamsa, and I know I'm not, I'm sure some of you may be, but I'm not. He said, if you don't become aware that you need to understand your emotional, your physical, your social needs, then you can become dysfunctional in an organization. So it's very important to understand this type of care. And if we understand it for ourselves, then we can extend it to others. Really important. If we're having emotional issues and we're not getting some assistance, if we're not able to reach out to others to help us, or if we don't have the tools, if we're not hearing and chanting and taking full shelter of the philosophy, taking full shelter of association, taking full shelter of Dham, so many things Srila Prabhupada has given to us, if we have not done that, then we will become dysfunctional. This was given to us by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, so see, these are some of the services. So sometimes this is why I ask you, what does devotee care mean to you? Because devotee care, sometimes devotees approach me and they say, well, we have this problem in our temple, or we have this problem in our community, or I have this problem. I need, you know, let's say I need Lakshmi, or I need some health care. And I'm like, no, this is not what devotee care as far as us as a committee. We are a committee that is bringing awareness about care. And we are a support system for those of you that are in your congregation, in your temples, that want to institute some devotee care system or structure. So we can assist you with how to do that. For example, if you're having some marital challenge and you come to me and you say, my husband is XXX or my wife is XXX. Now, I may have some expertise, I may have some skills, I may have some tools, but perhaps Krishna Nandini may have much more tools than me. So I, as a devotee care committee, would say, go to the Grihastha Vision team. See Mother Krishna Nandini, she probably could help you, and all the different devotees that are caregivers in that area, in that system. So there's so many systems. For example, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they have so many doctors, and anyway, they're fully equipped, as you all know. So if somebody needs some health care, then I would suggest someone that perhaps they could contact in that place. I could be a support system like that. So devotee care, as far as the committee is concerned, is to be able to direct the devotees to the structures and the systems that are already set up in ISKCON, and for those that we can inspire to set systems up in your communities and your temple. Are we clear with this? So if there's nothing else, if you just take this away when you leave, when somebody says, you went to this seminar and you know, they told you about devotee care, and, you know, so now I need some devotee care, and how do I get in contact with those people? You say, you know what? they are a resource. And they will give information on how we can do it. But they themselves may not do it. In my case, you know, I have some training in certain things, so I can do certain things. And I extend myself in that way. But in general, we are a resource. Okay? Okay, so what we do is we assist the leadership in embedding a culture. We encourage all ISKCON centers, projects, and departments to apply the principles of care. And we support projects that directly offer devoted care. For example, the Grihastha Vision Team, they have a project. And how they offer devoted care is to be able to care for the Grihasthas. That's what they do. Within defined areas and specified membership groups. So defined areas. So that means specifically, let's say, financial. I heard Subal Prabhu ask that question this morning about finances. So generally, what would happen is normally, if you have in your community some kind of a committee, a financial committee that can work together, it doesn't have to be many people, a few people, that have that kind of training or understanding of how to deal with finances. So let's say you have, and I'm sure most of you in your temples have this, you have three or four people that have financial expertise. You get together and you create a system whereby you could probably loan devotees money based on what they're able to do, their capacity. And then those devotees, you can work some system on how they repay that money. And that way you're setting a system up. And that system, there are several systems like this. And they function amazing. They've gone from supporting three or four devotees to, now I know one system that's like more than 100 devotees. That's a part of that system. And that system was created from something very simple, very basic, two devotees getting together. They had some financial expertise, some understanding of how to do that. The devotees would have to pay a certain amount more than what they originally borrowed. And they've done it. So there's systems that can be created for the devotees. And most importantly is we promote the establishment of further projects as needed. So this is something that we do. Devotee Care Committee, if you approach anyone on the Devotee Care Committee, and there are a few of us, we are willing to give whatever expertise we may have or direct you to those that do have that expertise. Okay, so there are six principles that the Devotee Care Committee has given for our course. And I ask, because I know this is, again, I see some sleeping devotees, so I'm going to ask you to read so that we can keep you alive, keep you awake at the wonderful lunch hour. Yes, Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada's teachings and example, Vaishnava Seva, Spirited PEP leadership, positive sense of belonging, loving relationships, expert listening.
Great. So now I want to ask you, which of these is bringing up some questions for you? Which one of these principles you might want to know a little bit more about? Thank you, Mataji. So I wouldn't have to go through the whole of all of them.
Spirited leadership.
Spirited leadership. Okay. So this is very important. So let's talk about Srila Prabhupada and his leadership. What are some things about Srila Prabhupada's leadership that you can share with someone? If you are just immediately, that comes to the top of your head. What's something that you can share about Srila Prabhupada's leadership?
The purity of Srila Prabhupada was so...
Purity.
Yes.
Okay.
The purity and the compassion and mercy that he had in his heart that he was able to extend. And even touch the hearts of everybody, from children to like adults. It's just so touching.
Okay. Purity and compassion. And I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last one.
The purity and compassion with which he dealt with others, be it a child, be it an adult, it's so touching. Because
yes,
he was able to transform their hearts.
Yes, thank you. I think the devotee next to you would like to share. Something you can think about when you think of Srila Prabhupada as a leader, as a spirited leader.
I was going to say gratitude. He was always grateful to everyone who was assisting him.
Yes. I was hearing the story just recently about Srila Prabhupada when he was leaving his body. One of the devotees had a boil on his foot. And he was walking with like a limp. And Prabhupada saw that. And he asked him, well, what's wrong with your foot? And the devotee said, oh, nothing, nothing, Srila Prabhupada, nothing like this. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, there is something. You're walking with a little bit of a limp. And so he said, it's just a boil. And Srila Prabhupada, he's leaving his body. Srila Prabhupada told him what to do for that boil. And then Srila Prabhupada would inquire from him every day, how is the boil? What's happening with the boil? Right? And so eventually the Bodhi was saying, no, it's getting much better, Srila Prabhupada, it's getting much better. So this is Srila Prabhupada's leadership. He was caring about everyone, right? There's another story I heard just recently also about this devotee that used to, when Prabhupada lived in Radha Damodar Temple, Prabhupada used to get his milk from one person, and the son used to deliver the milk to Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes Prabhupada would go and pick up the milk himself, and sometimes he would come back, sometimes he wasn't able to go. And so the father would send a son to go to Radha Damodar Temple to deliver the milk. And so one day, he went to the Radha Damodar Temple to give Prabhupada the milk, and he noticed there was a scorpion coming towards Srila Prabhupada's foot. Srila Prabhupada was in deep meditation. He was chanting in his little Radha Damodar kutir. Everybody knows this, right? Where Srila Prabhupada lived. So he's chanting, and this scorpion was coming. And so this boy, he was watching to see what was Srila Prabhupada going to do. But he realized Srila Prabhupada was in deep meditation. And then he noticed that Srila Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. And so then he thought, well, how will Srila Prabhupada, you know, see, and how will he know the scorpion is there? So he thought what to do. He was a little bit bewildered, a little confused, what to do, right? And so then he decided to make a noise. So he made a noise. And then Prabhupada saw him, right? Became aware of his presence. And so then he said, there's a scorpion, because the scorpion was coming nearer and nearer and nearer. He had been waiting. The scorpion got very close to his foot. And Prabhupada says to him, he says, no, don't bother. He's a living entity also. He's also a living entity, like this. And so that Prabhu, he said, Prabhupada, it was always known to not disturb Srila Prabhupada because he was writing. Right? Everybody knew around the Radha Damodar Temple, this old man, he's writing, just leave him. He's doing his manuscripts. And so, all of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada disappeared. And this Prabhu didn't know. He was young, so he didn't know what happened to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, of course, had come to America. So one day he's walking, years later, he's walking down near Radha Damodar Temple in that area. And he saw Srila Prabhupada, he saw a couple European devotees, Western body devotees, and they were hovering around this Indian sadhu. And of course, you know, he grew up with sadhu, so he was a little curious. So he went to look and see, who is this sadhu? At that time, there wasn't so many European devotees that Prabhupada had just brought, like the beginning, ISKCON was new to India. And he saw that it was Srila Prabhupada. And so he was just amazed. He was like, whoa, Babu. And then Prabhupada says, so Prabhupada recognized him, and Prabhupada told his disciples, this is my old friend. And Prabhupada took off this expensive necklace that I guess some devotee had given it to him, and he gave it to this Prabhu, the Prabhu is older, and gave it to him. This Prabhu said that necklace was such a cherished item because it represented years of relationship, years of serving. He was serving him milk. And he said he took some of those stones from that necklace, and he made his wife earrings. And he tells this story. It's such a beautiful story of Srila Prabhupada caring. So this is the kind of... Srila Prabhupada is the leader at that time. So spirited leadership means someone that is proactive, someone that has empathy, and someone that is precise, pristine, pure, as you're saying. very pure, right? So such a person can lead. Such a person can lead. So as devotee care, the devotee care committee is saying, Srila Prabhupada has come to give us something that is not impossible for all of us. It is not impossible. He wouldn't have come all the way here and he wouldn't have done all the things and he wouldn't have had, Krishna wouldn't have blessed him with so many accomplishments if it was not possible for those people that he was inspiring. So we are those persons. So it is possible. So this is spirited leadership. This is a very important aspect of devotee care. When we, as leaders, we need to become very aware of the other person. Very conscious of the other person. Generally when we get some leadership position, we become a little, our egos kind of sometimes can get in the way. And sometimes our egos can kind of overshadow that natural propensity that we have to care. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. And so we need to be very careful. Very, very careful about this. Because that can affect many, many, many people around us. Is that okay? Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhupada also felt every devotee is very important, no matter where they are in the trajectory of the devotional service. And also he trained his disciples to see other devotees like that.
Yes.
So what I feel is like, if we don't feel that, if every devotee is extremely valuable, then we'll not have a clear focus of what is care and...
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And by, you see, it's natural that we would care for another person. It really is quite natural. It's natural to the soul. However, as we said, we are conditioned, we are covered. So we may sometimes forget, right, that natural nature, the natural propensity we have to care. So this is why we are developing a devotee care course, because in our ISKCON organization, we sometimes put projects in front of, ahead of people. And actually, Prabhupada, his example was people before projects. You see, so when the people are the focus, then even if we make some mistake, we're eager to learn. And we're eager to correct ourselves. Because people are our focus. If projects are the focus, then it becomes a little more difficult. It becomes a little more difficult. Because we're dealing a lot with material energy with projects sometimes. And so then sometimes the tendency is we forget. Yes? Which is why we give this example from devotee care, that it is important to be able to reach out and get help from others. So even when we might not be acting as caring as we can be, then it's very important that we have relationships that can help us, that can say, you know, you're going a little bit down a narrow path here. Ego can only take us to a dead end, right? So let's step back, let's step back. And like that, this is why this is so important for all of us. Is that okay? Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Okay, so what we've done is we've created lessons on all of these six principles. And so we just focused on one today, just so we can get some understanding of what we're offering to the devotees. Today, what I would like to do is focus a little bit on one of the principles that means a lot to me. All of them are really important. However, this one I have found in my journey in ISKCON, I have found this principle coming to me over and over and over and over again. And that's principle number 4, positive sense of belonging. This positive sense of belonging to ISKCON, sometimes it can get shaken, right? Sometimes we're on the boat, as Srila Prabhupada has said, we are on the boat, but sometimes that boat shakes quite a bit. And so we will talk a little bit about this, because we need to be aware of this ourselves so that we can help others when they're coming. Just like Prabhu is saying that he needs more spiritual guidance, right? Yeah, so that he can have this positive sense of belonging to this institution. If he doesn't have that kind of guidance, that loving, caring guidance, then he won't get that sense of belonging. I belong to Srila Prabhupada. I belong to ISKCON, right? This is the mood of the Devotee Care Committee. We belong to this institution, and we lovingly belong. It's not we belong because, you know, our guru is a part of it. It's not that we belong because, oh yeah, I love the philosophy. It's that we belong because of all of those things. We belong, we want that. Because this is Prabhupada's body, as we heard this morning. And Prabhupada is directly representing Krishna. So it's non-different in that sense, right? This is the way to get back to Godhead. So we want to do this in a very loving and caring way. And we want to make that possible for others. Okay, so these are the values. Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar. Radha Damodar ki. So in a devotee care course, we say, what's the value of having principles if we're not going to have values that we live by? Right? We can always have principles. We can come up with so many principles. But we need to have some action plans. We need to have things that we are going to do. What are we going to do? So one of our first value, of course, is wisdom and sastric insight. Because we are, as Tamahara Prabhu said this morning, we are a spiritual organization. This is what in Srila Prabhupada's mission this morning, he's giving us the seven principles of Srila Prabhupada, right? So in all of those, we can understand how important it is to have wisdom and sastric insight. This was Srila Prabhupada's life and soul. We will hear that from Vaisheshika Prabhu tomorrow, what he did in order to bring these books to us, to bring this knowledge. And integrity and example. We need to live by integrity. We need to be examples. We need to understand what integrity means. Sometimes, spirited leadership, we might lose our sight of integrity. Because sometimes we get so involved in the projects that the projects then become so much a part of what we want to belong to that we lose who we really are. So our integrity gets put aside, right? And then we lose example, being an example for others, for ourselves first. Then expertise. So I'm going to ask you, give me an idea of what you think these mean. What does this mean to you? Expertise. As a value. Because we hear that word, it's a word that's used, and it can have a different meanings for different people depending on our consciousness. Yes, Prabhu?
I was just thinking about expertise on the subject of devotee care, where, like you had, one of the things was expert listening.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, listening skills, getting expertise in that, expertise in, you know, asking questions, expertise in, you know, financial stuff that devotees may need help with, you know, all expertise in the wide range of things. So.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Prabhu, please.
Like, every devotee, every person has a natural inclination. And the expertise means like recognizing that and dovetailing it with Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Recognizing that each person...
Each person's inclinations.
Yes.
And then dovetailing them towards
That's a way of explaining expertise, that we understand the ashrams of people, the varna, and we're properly able to engage them according to their propensities. Yes, this is a very important aspect of expertise. As Prabhu also is saying, expertise means that we are aware of just how to do things in ways that can inspire and encourage others. You know, people spend so much money to go to the best schools to do, in the material world, to do so many things, just to say, I'm expert at this. I'm an expert psychologist. I'm an expert counselor. I'm an expert, you know, mathematician. I'm an expert architect. I'm an expert. So we are expert bhakti teachers. We are expert. We're expert at that. We bring so many facets of bhakti that can go into any one of those environments. Right? So this is ultimately our expertise. That Srila Prabhupada has made us experts. Yeah? And we need to be able to be examples of that. Yeah? Okay. Gratitude and generosity. I think anyone? Anyone has some ideas about this? Trying to wake people up here. Yes? You have the mic, Prabhu. You can share with us.
What was that, Madhuri? Gratitude and generosity?
As far as devotee care.
Being grateful for, you know, what I'm receiving from the devotees.
Yes.
Devotee care. And then the converse of that is to give, being generous in, you know, giving what I'm receiving.
Yes. Very important. Rupa Goswami's loving exchanges, right? Three are giving and three are receiving. So we're giving and we're receiving. We're a society of givers and receivers constantly. I believe it was Tamahara Gain Prabhu, I believe he said that in our ISKCON institutions sometimes we experience where devotees may not be so generous. They may not be so giving, right? They may not always give to the temples. Yeah? So he was explaining that sometimes that may be there. We may have some financial challenges because we may not be as generous as we possibly could be. So Rupa Goswami says we're giving and receiving. This is the mood of a caring devotee. And that covers everything. It's in every area of our lives that we develop, that we have this mood. I remember my Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, he used to train us that when you want to connect with a devotee very deeply, you give to that devotee the thing you value the most. Right? Whatever it is that you, might be something very simple. Very, very simple. If it's something that you truly value, you really love that thing, you really want that thing, whatever it is, you give that to a devotee. Make that connection with a devotee. And that will help you to be able to develop this mood of what it means to really give. Yeah? So he actually was in that mood of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came here, right, at 80 years old, and in a giving mood, totally giving, totally, totally giving. And so he trained his disciples like that, to always be in that mood of giving. So this gratitude and generosity is we're grateful and we're giving. We're grateful and we're giving. Affection and love, I believe that explains itself. Probably don't have to go through that so much. And then, of course, empathy. And so we'll look a little bit at empathy, and we'll look a little bit at example and integrity. Because, yes, Krishnadini Mataji.
But I would like to see you talk about affection and love, because sometimes I think devotees get confused about that. So if you would share a little bit, please.
Thank you, Krishnadini. I thought I was leaving that for you. That, well, actually, it's a fact, because it's not just grihasthas that needs to know about affection and love. That it's in every ashram. Every ashram needs to understand. Brahmacharis need to understand. Varanaprastha needs to understand. We all need to understand what it means to be affectionate and loving. So let's talk about some ways that Srila Prabhupada was affectionate and loving. Let me hear what are some examples of that from some of these devotees that they know so much about Srila Prabhupada. Okay, maybe one person. How did Srila Prabhupada demonstrate his affection? How did Srila Prabhupada demonstrate his affection to His Holiness Ramapada Swami? Getting a little bit more specific. Someone? Okay, what does affection mean to you? When you think of affection, what does affection mean to you? I got to get one answer at least, please. Yes, there you go. Okay, Prabhu. Oh, somebody in the back. Thank you. Okay, caring.
I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada's example of being offering affection without any sense of upadhi. There's no sense of designation. So yes. From that platform, he could really give affection. I'm thinking of the example of one of his disciples who was watching Prabhupada serve prasadam or directing others to serve prasadam to his godbrother someplace. And he was like, oh, the prasadam looks really nice. I wish I could get some. Mm. And Prabhupada saw him looking at everybody getting prasadam. He called him and he said, you sit down and you also get prasadam. And he was feeling so grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he read his mind and was able to serve him prasadam. And he's like, here's my spiritual master who's serving me prasadam.
Yes, there's so many wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada showing his affection and love. Yes, Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada was not only affectionate to the people whom he knew, even to the new people, as we hear, like in Mayapur, he saw like in the garbage when people have left out the prasadam, and he saw some people, they're hungry, they're just taking from prasadam from there, and then Prabhupada said like around Mayapur, around 10 miles, so in that radius, nobody should be hungry. So he was so affectionate to people whom he saw for the first time also. Or even some in other occasions, like in somewhere in Europe, where some people were visiting the temple, and Prabhupada was late. And when he came, and he saw that they are about to leave, and he knew that those people were new, so they must be very much attracted towards prasadam. Mm. So when they left, he asked the person who was taking care of them that, did they take prasadam? And he said, no. Then Prabhupada said, that's something, the vital part is missing. So he was affectionate for those people whom he probably haven't seen, or even writing Bhagavatam, being awake throughout the night. He's writing for the people for less, thousands of years. People will be reading that. So all these are part of his affections. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So yes, Srila Prabhupada again is our example of teaching us how to be affectionate and loving. So Srila Prabhupada's affection was based on the devotees becoming aware and extending their care to others. So there's this beautiful example that I can think of, that Srila Prabhupada with one of his disciples in Los Angeles, Sridhar Maharaj. So that Sridhar Maharaj had cleaned the room of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was expected to come. And he had cleaned the room just so amazing, so clean, so nicely, because in those days, devotees, they have, and still do. You can see from all the things that they have done for Srila Prabhupada. So much affection for Srila Prabhupada. So much affection. They loved Srila Prabhupada. So you can imagine the person that you love the most, and they're coming to your home. So what you will do in your home to welcome that person, right? So just on that level you can think. So just imagine now the affection for the spiritual master, the person that is connecting us back to Krishna. So Sridhar Maharaj, he had this deep affection and love for Srila Prabhupada. So the reciprocation that he was giving to Srila Prabhupada, his love and affection, was to clean his room. Just clean it as nicely as he could have possibly cleaned it. Then Srila Prabhupada came. And Srila Prabhupada, when he came into the room, he was really just so grateful. And he looked at Sridhar Maharaj, and he asked, who cleaned my room? And I believe someone said, he did, the Sridhar Maharaj. And he patted Sridhar Maharaj and he said, thank you very much for giving your life. Thank you very much for giving your life. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't just thanking him for the room, for cleaning the room, even though that was an amazing service. He was thanking him because the affection, the love that Sridhar Maharaj had for Srila Prabhupada was to give his life. So affection and love in a spiritual sense, right? In bhakti means to give everything that we have for the person that we love the most. Now, when we talk about our conditional relationships, that's a little difficult, isn't it? It's a little difficult. Because sometimes we think affection and love means, what do they say in the material world? You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Something like that, you know? Sometimes we say like that. If you do this for me, then I can do this for you. Yeah? But when we understand spiritual life, we understand that the disciples and the guru, so much affection and love for the disciple that the guru will do anything. Prabhupada came to America, 80 years old, having heart attacks because of the love he had for his guru as a disciple. Similarly, the disciples, as they develop this mood that they had for Srila Prabhupada, this love that they had for Srila Prabhupada, they could do anything. They could do anything. And so this is the mood of affection and love. This is a very deep understanding of affection and love. Now we are attempting to learn that. Right? We are learning that because our spiritual teachers are assisting us. Srila Prabhupada has taught them. They are trying to teach us how to have this affection and love. Now when it comes to our relationships with each other, we need to remember that we have all these different conditionings. It comes from our cultures, it comes from our childhood, it comes from our backgrounds, it comes from so many different areas of conditioning. So what might be affection and love for me might be totally different for you if I'm not looking from a foundation of Krishna consciousness. If I'm not looking from a foundation of bhakti, then I might think, well, my parents taught me that affection and love means somebody is supposed to hug me. You know, you're supposed to get hugs. My father used to hug me all the time. My mother used to hug me all the time. You know, now I'm grown up and nobody hugs me, right? I don't get any hugs, you know. I'm not loved. And then what happens? We develop that ourselves. Oh, I don't get any love from anybody, so I'm not going to give that to anybody, right? We don't give that. We don't give it because we don't get it. And so material life is like that. But that's not what Srila Prabhupada came here to give us. Srila Prabhupada gave us this. He said, the more you give, the more you get. The more you give, the more you get. The more you give, the more you get. So we give. We give. Even when we're not receiving, we give. And this is very deep. It's not so easy for us to actually live on a daily basis. However, we endeavor to do so. Now, Krishnandini will help those grihastha couples that need to know how to put that into practice with each other, her and Tyreek Prabhu. I am not attempting to go into the grihastha area of how to repose your love. How do you repose your affection and love? Because my understanding in the grihastha ashram, if Krishna is not in the center, if Krishna is not absolutely in the center, then it just becomes chaotic. Just becomes crazy. Yeah, just chaos. Krishna's got to be in the center. Guru and Krishna. Okay, so we're moving on from our values. And now, this is coming a little bit from our course. So, we have not yet given this. We want you to know. Alright, so, there's 21 reasons for lack of devotee care. And there's probably a lot more than that. We did a research, and that research came up with 21 reasons why we don't have devotee care in our institution. And all of us are a part of this institution, so I'm guessing some of us make up some of these 21 reasons. Yeah. So, the first one is, guess what? How can we have affection and love? That's the first one. Very difficult to have affection and love if we're just thinking about ourselves. Really difficult. That was 85% in our research. And this was in different places, not just in one place, in the Devotee Care Committee. So, Master Mandala Prabhu, he did an excellent job of doing this research. He was very, you know, just very dedicated, and he wanted to make sure that we get this research out to the devotees. So we can start looking at this. The second one was short-term vision. Short-term vision. 83%. Right? And I'm only giving you two. So there's a lot. I tell you, education was one of those, but we had such a beautiful seminar on education today. So I think all of you, when you go back to your temples, you can institute certain things about education. But yes, and guess what? Self-interest and short-term vision usually is an intrapersonal challenge. Intrapersonal means it's within ourselves, that we within ourselves are not able to extend ourselves out to others, because we internally are having a challenge within our own self. So it's really important to understand what is intrapersonal, what is interpersonal, what is intragroup, and what is intergroup. As we understand these, then we'll understand a little bit more about how self-interest plays out in our lives. Okay, so we almost finished here. Trishnandini is coming at 4:30. So a positive sense of belonging. Okay, so this group is not a very talkative group, but I need someone to give me some feedback on what do you think this means? Positive sense of belonging. I gave some hints. Yes, Prabhu.
I think it's a devotee who have connected to ISKCON in some way over the years, whatever he has received, he feels that it is worthwhile. And he's feeling that he can imbibe these values in his life, and it is giving him solutions to his problems, and he wants to grow up in this society and receive more and give more. So.
Thank you. Very nice. Yes, a devotee that is definitely understanding what is needed in the society, willing and ready to be able to do what is needed, and feeling so cared for that they want to do those things, whatever it may be. And I'm going to give you something that you can do in our society to help all of us to have this sense of positively belonging to our institution, or to our society, to Srila Prabhupada's mission. So the need to belong. In our human experience, a sense of belonging means acceptance as a member or a part, right? We all know why we don't feel like we belong. When we're not cared for, definitely, we don't think we belong, yeah? When we have challenges with the institution, with the people in the institution, whatever is going on, when there's conflicts, we don't feel like we belong, yes? When somebody's not dealing with us in the way that we think is Krishna conscious, we don't feel like we belong. Yeah, so many reasons we can go through that. Srila Prabhupada, though, he says, no, I've created an institution. I've created a society where the whole world can live, isn't it? The whole world. It's a house, right? That everybody can live in. So we all need to understand how we can belong in this institution, given that we are imperfect human beings trying to become perfect. Yeah? Okay, so these are the areas that's needed. And I'm asking you, requesting you as a take home, please look at these areas and see what you can work on in your congregation, in your temple. Spiritual life means Vedic wisdom, Sastric wisdom, means studying the scriptures, giving the scriptures. That's what we get from day one, right? Mental care, emotional care. Marriage and sex and relationships. So Krishnandini will do that. And Tariq Prabhu. Child rearing and child care. We need these all active so that the Krishna consciousness can be thriving society for everyone to see. We're there quite a bit, but we need to get there more. And so we need everyone's participation. Everyone needs to feel this sense of belonging. I belong to Srila Prabhupada. I belong to ISKCON. Because I belong, I am taking care of the grihasthas. Because I belong, I am taking care of the children. Because I belong, I am looking at the educational system and see what to implement. Yes? And like this, we go on. Career and employment. These are all important aspects that we need to look at in devotee care. These are the last six. Financial advice, housing, travel and immigration, consumer and lifestyle, legal and civic, mediation, advice. These are all areas that we need. Some of you are experts in some of these areas. Form a committee, right? Let us become a big devotee care all over the world. India is leading us now. It's nice, but it's nice. We go to India just because, you know, it's so much activity. We'd like to stay in America. So we're asking you, Srila Prabhupada is begging you, and he's begging you with lots of affection and love. These are the areas that we need. In order to do this though, we need to have empathy and integrity. We need to be an example in order for us to actually bring this forward. Yes? Yeah, we need to understand. As I said, these are all workshops within themselves. Empathy is a workshop. Integrity and example is a workshop. So if you would like to know more about these, definitely you can invite us to your congregation, to your community, to your temple. We'll be happy to come, and we'll be happy to do a one-day workshop, a three-day workshop, whatever it is that you might need, in order to let us become more aware of what our needs are, in order to facilitate Srila Prabhupada's mission more and more. A caring mission, right? This is the lotus from Srila Prabhupada Swami. He says, ISKCON is like a lotus. It's like a lotus flower. So it's blooming and blossoming. And we can expand that and extend that just to ourselves first. So important that we get it. We got to get it so that we can give it. And I believe our last slide. Each of us is ISKCON. Each of us. Each and every one of us is ISKCON. ISKCON is a caring organization that provides a family atmosphere based on love and trust. Another workshop. Love and trust. Just as Srila Prabhupada instructed. ISKCON will live through us as Srila Prabhupada's legacy. Srila Prabhupada's legacy is caring. When I hear about book distribution, I hear caring. Right? Prabhupada had to care to write those books. He had to care to bring those books to America. He had to care to just bring that one, two Bhagavatams. He had to care to assist devotees to learn how to distribute books. He had to care to help us to understand how to utilize those books, what to look for, how to let our lives grow in such a way that we can have sublime characteristics. This is what Srila Prabhupada has done. It's his care that has made us a part of ISKCON. Let him be proud. Because that's what would please all of the persons that have dedicated their lives to Srila Prabhupada. All of those persons. We also need to be example of that. So I thank you very much. We're right on time. So this is, thank you very much. This is just, as I said, it's a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of a view of the Devotee Care course, and we pray that the GBC will approve the course and that you'll be able to, we will be able to, you know, come and teach, we'll be able to come to your place and teach the course or come just like we do the Guru Disciple course. We're praying and hoping that it will get accepted in that way. And we're still working on the course also. We're developing things in it. So if there's, we also would love to get feedback from you in ways that you can help us to see, you know, systems and structures, but most importantly is that we connect with the love that's within ourselves. And whatever impediments may be there with that love coming out within ourselves to others, then let us seek help for that. Because, you know, we're getting into a new era. It's a new time. It's after Srila Prabhupada's 50th anniversary. We're moving into like a new season. And this is a season of love and care. This is the season. So let us all get on board. All get on board. And as we get on board more with Prabhupada's mission of love and care, it will extend into your grihastha relationships. It will extend to your children. It will extend to people that you deal with every day. This is what Prabhupada has given us. This is how he's trained his disciples. This is what I learned from one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Thank you very much again. Any 1 minute, 2 minute question? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. You're a great audience. Thank you so much.